Hecla Lava. Hecla Lava, who wouldn't have used in their practice with very gratifying results in all kinds of bony growths, bone involvements, what we call exostosis, benign growth of bone. Sometimes you get a bony bump which is coming from odd places, somewhere from the forehead, from the elbow, from hand, leg, anywhere. And it's painless and it can be dealt by Hecla Lava very well. All the lava contains silica, alumina, lime and magnesia, oxide of iron, very well known remedy for exostosis, even in the jaw, alveolar margins, all that. But it has been an extremely useful remedy for osteosarcoma. I had all sarcomas, Ewing's tumor, and a little simpler condition like osteoclastoma, which is not a very rapidly spreading cancer, but it is a cancer which can get self-limited. Osteoclastoma responds to Hecla Lava. Osteosarcoma, Ewing's tumor responds to Hecla Lava. The other thing which you have seen, which I started doing and has given very good results, is I found in various leukemias, the myeloblastic leukemia, the problem arises because of immature cells being manufactured. Whereas these cells manufactured, they are manufactured in the bone marrow. So I thought if the sarcoma, which is the cortex of the bone, can respond to Hecla Lava, why not a bone marrow dysplasia? So I started using Hecla Lava in leukemias and with fantastic results, very good results. Much better than otherwise.
Any particular leukemias?
ALL as well as myeloblastic leukemias, both. But you know, I have a slight preference to a symphytum, which is again a good remedy, where you see signs of a lot of infection. In a highly infective state, symphytum seems to be more helpful. But basically, Hecla Lava, I think, is a good remedy. So that is an offshoot of our basic understanding of Hecla Lava, which is mainly a bony growths. Anybody thinks of Hecla Lava for bone growths, whereas I want you to apply the other way around for bone marrow dysplasias, and you'll be very astonished to see good results. Very astonished.
How often do you give it?
No, if I'm giving, I give it a plussing dose, alternating with carcinosin. So it just goes on a daily basis for 1 week, then the next week go on to carcinosin. So I do it in a plussing dose. Hypozenium. Boy, this is a nosod which not many people have been exposed to. But I got exposed to this in a very, very interesting way. I must tell you that. Malin glandrin farci. The nosod of glanders or farci. The disease is called glanders when the catarrhal symptoms are pronounced. Farci when these are not noticeable. The skin being chiefly affected with deposits in the lungs. Homeopathic bacterial preparations of both have been made. Those made from farci are distinguished by the letter F, triturations of sugar of milk saturated with a virus. Now, how I got interested in hypozenium in the first place is its propensity to deal with infections, infected situations. If you're talking of infections, there is not one single infection which is exempted. This is from Clark's dictionary. This list is not made out by me, because then you can be, oh, this guy might have seen all sorts of things and interpreted as a hypozenium picture. No, this is taken from Clark's. Now, just to give you an idea of how much it has got propensity to deal with infections. Abscess, bed sores, boils, bronchitis, cancer, carbuncle. Nowadays, we don't see such serious infection due to diabetes. Nowadays, we don't see caries. Tell me where there is no infection. Catarrhal, cold chronic, diphtheria, elephantiasis, erysipelas, glanders, hip disease, liver enlarged, lupus, nasal cartilages, ulceration, edema, ozena, paratitis, phlegmasia albidolens, that is lung infection, and phlegmon, plague, pustules, putrid fever, pyemia, scrofula, which is another word for tuberculosis, smallpox, confluent, syphilis, tuberculosis, ulcers, and whooping cough. You know, where I tried this, apart from cancer, where it is a badly infected situation, not otherwise. That means you can try only in real, real late stage 4. To spread and fungated, ulcerated, discharging, superadded infection, patient in a lot of pain, this will give a lot of relief. But one other place where I use, I'm yet to come up with something to talk of very proudly, but I have made an attempt, is in AIDS. how does a person in AIDS die? Because of the lack of the whole immune system breaking down, what consumes an AIDS patient is what they call the opportunistic infections. It can be a common cold which can kill him. It can be any kind of infection. Because an infection which goes defenseless into the body virtually wipes him out. So they die of opportunistic infections. And then here it is, infection, and nothing but infection galore. I had 3 patients of full-blown AIDS. I had them for 2 years, but unfortunately, all 3 of them died. It's not something which I can proudly present as a case. I found it very good to work with Ipazenium in those cases because it was, at least I thought it was trying to get a handle on this whole thing. Seemingly, all the 3 guys made good progress and kept the whole thing going very well, but suddenly we lost. So then I would like you to keep that in mind as to how much of focus is there for infection in Ipazenium. Actually, one person was very promising. He had diarrheas. He would have about 15 motions a day, just continuously. When I say skin and bones, unbelievably, just skin and bones. I thought he might even just drop there. But the whole thing came under control, turned around, and I thought, here I'm going to have a case to show to people that, yes, we can succeed with AIDS and that sort of thing. He did very well for more than 2 years. The HIV positives have become negative with homeopathy. And actually, we had a big study in a hospital where they gave us 51 or 52 cases where 36 cases turned negative with homeopathy. It was a big study. The 2 remedies which were used very much was Lachesis and Phosphorus for HIV positive. Have turned negative. That is possible, whereas a full-blown AIDS, I'm yet to have a case which has come through successful. Actually, Lachesis came number 1. Number 2 was Phosphorus. Kent's favorite prescription for cancer was Hydrastis. Renunculaceae, tincture of the fresh root. It's all centered around either you call it liver or the GI tract. Mostly liver. Alcoholism, cancer, constipation, dyspepsia, fistula, gastric catarrh, hemorrhoids, jaundice, lip cancer of liver affections of, rectum affections of, ulcers, uterus affections. We've got a wide range. A perennial underground stem, thick, knotty and yellow. The yellow color is very intense and it has been used by Indians as a dye. Indians means not the Indians here, but Indians back home, my fellows. In those days when there were not chemicals, any yellow cloth meant it had the Hydrastis dye extracted and used. They call the law of signature. What is yellow in our body is bile. You know, that's thick yellow dye you're talking of. What is yellow in our body is the bile, is yellow. So, affections of liver. That's why it's a great remedy for jaundice. Your whole body turns yellow. So, for jaundice, even we use it a lot in India for hepatitis A. See, hepatitis B is tricky. Hepatitis C is very, very tricky. At least hepatitis B, we get some results. For hepatitis C, we get to see results. It's very difficult to prove also hepatitis C because it can go underground and resurface after 20 years, they say. So how are you going to watch and monitor whether you can make a claim you're cured, but the guy may... Hepatitis B is controllable, followable, and you can monitor it. But whereas we use for hepatitis A, that is the infective jaundice, which just comes and goes in 1 week or 10 days. Because of poor hygiene, you can get a... So Hydrastis has got a great... It is in cases... Cancer, Hydrastis has won its chief fame. And I think it may be fairly said that more cases of cancer have been cured with it than any other single remedy. This is not my statement. I think it's that of Kent. I'm sure it's Kent. Precancerous stage, a period of undefined ill health without any discernible new growth. Dyspepsia, dull, heavy, sodden looking. The tongue is large, flabby, slimy looking. And erectations putrid. To quote Kent, the desires and aversions often give the key to a very complex totality of symptoms. In this remedy, the sinking, empty hunger with loathing of food is striking. See, they have an all-gone hungry feeling. Sinking feeling, hungry feeling, but with loathing for food. That's very paradoxical that if you're hungry and all gone, you want to grab whatever is there and eat. You have that terrific hunger, but with loathing for food. So that is striking, strange, rare, and therefore peculiar. It's characteristic because it is the general of the remedy and is predicate of the patient. empty, aching, gone feeling. This is a grand characteristic of hydras, and it is constant. After a meal, bowels is either infrequent and constipated or frequent with loose, soft, light-colored stools. Catarrh and almost all mucous surface is caused by hydrastic. The characteristic catarrh is yellow. There is excessive sweat, especially of armpits or genitals, marked action on the liver, causing jaundice and cancer of the liver. Normally, if we ask, is the perspiration staining linen yellow, or is it false? If the perspiration is staining the undergarments yellow, very markedly, think of hydrastis. More cases of cancer have been cured by this drug than any other single remedy. It's not Kendrick's Clark. There's an opinion that hydrastis is a great remedy, even in pre-cancerous situation. So many people were here asking, what would you give for a cancer prevention? A lot of people have thought of hydrastis. But that's not for just a family history or things like that. But if the person feels run down and kind of washed out and not feeling up to mark at all, but there's nothing, no pathology evident, you give a gap hydrastis, he picks up. Definitely his digestion improves. So he picks up in health and he gets over. You may call that a precancerous condition.